recording. So I'm sitting with Sue Potts and her neighbors. Sue lives at 162 Major, but we're sitting next door at her neighbors because she's cat-sitting. I want to say thank you very much on behalf of the History Committee of Harvard Village Residents Association for agreeing to speak to us.
My pleasure.
We are looking at the neighborhood, people who've lived here a long time, what their experiences have been, and what the changes have been. So thank you.
You're welcome.
We'll start with just when you did move here and who lived here with you at that time?
My husband, John, and we also, it was a duplex so that we could afford it. So we did rent the upstairs until it was paid for.
Oh, really?
So, my first tenant was Dr. Ellen Buckman, who became my physician. She was a resident at Mount Sinai. Yeah, that was who lived upstairs first. No, it was a woman from Brown University, Elizabeth Kirk, medieval literature scholar. Had two nice women living upstairs.
Sure. Yeah. What made you choose to live in this neighborhood in 1972?
I was teaching at Central Tech at that time. I had come to teach at Central Tech in 1969 or 70 to do the musicals.
To do musicals?
Mm-hmm.
So you were teaching theater?
No, I taught English and Latin, but I came to Central Tech to teach English and because they needed somebody to direct the musicals. And they were wonderfully successful.
Oh, my God. So could you, if you don't mind, tell me how old you were in 72 when you moved here?
Just a minute. I think it was before then, but it might not have been. Okay, so.
What year were you born?
And that's what I'm doing now. 31 or 32.
Okay, thank you. Okay. So you came here as an adult, because one of the things I sometimes ask people is about dating, but I think if you came here with your husband and you were 31 or 32, dating is not...
That's why Norman Cook and his sister are so interesting, because whom I met just last year, who lived here as a child in this house.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's the one whose sister sent the wonderful picture of the man with the water wagon.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't even know he had a sister. As I say, I met him once, but I was out in the front yard next door, and he was coming out of Loire and introduced himself.
Fabulous.
So he'll be back in May or June, and he's going to come, and I'm going to take him out for lunch.
And you will also introduce me to him.
I will. I'll ask him if he wishes to talk to you, and I've mentioned that before. And
good. Well, I see.
He's going to try to put a lot of it in writing for me, he says. So.
But if I could interview my people.
Oh, yeah, no, that would be fine.
Thank you, thank you. So you came here for very practical reasons, because your job was close by.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. What was the neighborhood like at the time in terms of who made up the neighborhood?
I would say almost entirely, I'm just thinking, Italian, Mrs. You see, in Jack Bingham's house, wasn't the Paredes. I can't remember her. Wonderful Italian or Portuguese family. Mm-hmm. And next door to me was Jenny Langer, who came to Canada with her husband after World War II. And she spoke mostly Yiddish.
And did you learn some Yiddish?
Well, I learned a lot from Jenny. She was very happy to get a good neighbor. Upstairs, she rented to Mrs. Pasternak. And Janice's house, 156, was owned by Mrs. Crystal, and it was divided up into a rooming house. And there was a lovely old Jewish gentleman lived there, among many others. Janice knows their names more than I, because she wasn't working at the time. And the three of them would sit, when the weather allowed, on the front porch here on three different kitchen chairs, and when I came home, they would tell me if anybody came to the door and whether or not they were Jewish. I said, doesn't matter to me, Jenny, it's fine. Mrs. Langer, I always called her Mrs. Langer. Yeah. She was a good neighbor. Yeah.
So you're saying that a lot of Italian people, but a lot of Jewish people too?
Oh, very much, yes. Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah, very much so. The as I say, there was the I think, yeah, it was where the potter, Janice is better on this, where the pottery store is, mm-hmm. was, I think, kosher meat or kosher chicken. There was one on the other side of Harvard. The bakery, there was the Harvard Fish Company, mm-hmm. across, right across the street. And I would say yes, but then remind me to give you some pictures. My mother-in-law's family lived on Lippincott Street, and I have a few pictures of that, which I'll give
you. Well, I'll make my own copies. I'll take pictures of the pictures.
Well, what I want to do is walk down and see if I can find the actual house, because she died at 97. She wasn't too good on the house numbers, but I'll show them to you before you go.
Good.
So virtually, because of Central Tech and Central Commerce, now my in-laws were, I'm from Hamilton, but both Mr. and Mrs. Potts were Toronto people, and his father was a fireman on Gladstone Avenue, and her family lived. So there were a lot of old Toronto lived here. Now, Professor Cook told me that this was known as Midtown. Like, where do you live? We live Midtown.
Oh, really?
He said that's what we called it. And it, like, you talk to anybody and they say, oh, yeah, my mother and father lived here. So it was like, I don't know. It was.
I get a lot of that. I lived on Robert Street for many years. Now I've been on Borden Street for 12 years. And I get, what number? With the same thing. Who used to live in these houses?
Yeah.
Right. But I love your description of these three women sitting on kitchen chairs.
No, two women and a man. Now, Janice does know the man's name, and I've forgotten it.
But they were on kitchen chairs.
Oh, yes. That came out of this house every day.
Yeah.
And they sat on them. And, watch the world go by. Jenny was very limited because she never learned English. She couldn't go on the subway. She couldn't read the signs. Her husband was a tailor, and all his machinery, I can't remember whether it was still in the basement then. Might have been.
So you're saying he was a tailor. Did he work somewhere else, or did he work?
He worked out of the basement.
He did.
As far as I know. Now, the bakery people, remember Mrs. Langer, she's very sharp tongued.
Oh,
if you talk to the Cossowers, Susan and Roz know, I don't know how much more they would know about Mrs. Langer, because they would have been much younger.
They
would have known that. But the big machines were down the basement. Now, what I remember and what my husband told me and what Janice told me too was that. That's how the Immergluck's on Spadina, they came too because they were tailors, because Canada needed tailors, and that's how so many of the Jewish people came after the First World War. And Jenny, the most interesting thing she told me is what she did. She and her friends, they went to the dead bodies and they took out the bullets that could be used again. One of the few things that she ever told me about her past.
So she did this during which war?
Second World War.
Yeah. And what country was she in?
Poland, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, but she took the bullets out of bodies. So
that's when she was young. Yeah, that's what she did.
Oh, my God.
So they sent the kids out to get the... That's all I know.
Yeah, yeah. Did she say that with any emotion, or was
no,
she...
No, not really. As an interesting fact.
Yeah. It is a fascinating fact.
It is a fascinating fact, isn't it? Yes.
But how... they were budget conscious.
There are two children, but it's very... I don't think I could get a hold of them anymore because there was no will. When she... I own this house too. When she died, there was no will. So it went into the realm of the public trustee. And there was a son in California and there was a daughter somewhere who might know more. But I looked through the files I've got on this house when I bought it, and there's no record in any of the lawyer stuff of the son's name or address. But they had to find them, and they had to agree to it, and that kind of thing. So they would be a source. But I looked in preparation for this to see if there was anything in the way of names, but there wasn't. Okay. Janice, maybe.
Well, I will phone her.
Yeah.
I'll try very hard to meet with her.
You want to hear about Mrs. Crystal, who also came after the war. She was a Christian Scientist.
Okay.
And she
lived in this neighborhood,
too. No, she lived in 156.
Okay, got it.
See, these two... I bought Mrs. Langer's... because when when John retired, we were going to live side by side in separate houses, because then we wouldn't, as he used to say, no, I better not say it.
After I turn off the machine?
Yes, I will. And so then Janice and her husband came, and they bought Mrs. Crystal's. And Mrs. Crystal went into, oh, golly. Janice is better on this. But Janice would go and visit her, and so she learned all about... They were persecuted as well, mm-hmm. Like the gypsies or something,
oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why they came to Canada. And I think her husband died by falling down the basement stairs, but you'd better ask Janice. Yeah. But she was a very interesting woman. When we were working on this house, and we were building a fence, and she came over and she said to me, "You work just like man. That is good." She was right. John said she's right. You work just like
strong.
Man. Okay. She was all right, Mrs. Langer. Or Mrs. Crystal gave you pamphlets all the time, but she was okay.
There's several things I want to come back to that you...
Sure.
That you
I do okay. talk too easily. Stick with the questions.
Well, there are things you're talking about that I want to come to anyway. You talked about having the tailors working at home. Can you talk a little more about that? So as far as you know, he had his machines.
But he was dead before we came.
Okay. So
all I know is that the machines were there and she talked about them.
Okay. When you came, were there any other people that you knew who did work from their homes? What used to be called or can be called cottage industry. Anybody at that time? So you're talking about around 1972, 74, mm-hmm. 70.
No, I'm just going down the street.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No,
so
I can't.
That was it.
No.
And the other thing that you mentioned...
You know to interview Rose Rodriguez. Louis Lackey's...
Yes. Yeah, we had a wonderful...
She's the one that said that I should be interviewed, and I said, well, I think maybe Janice, but as long as you get both of us, you'll get most of the last 40 years.
Excellent, yeah. Now, you also mentioned these three people sitting on the front porch with the kitchen chairs.
Yes.
Can you talk a little more about that? People sitting on the front porches, are people doing it now? Did people do it more in 72 and 75? Sitting on the front porches, what's...
Well, if you walk down Major Street now, you'll see couches on the front porch. Mm-hmm. There wasn't quite so much, mostly there was a lot of people just living in the houses, not student housing, so you would see the older people sitting out at night. You still do, Elnor. If you walk down those same, there are people sitting out at night talking to their neighbors on the verandas. There just aren't verandas anymore much. A lot of people take them off.
They certainly take the overhanging thing off.
Yeah. No, I like a veranda.
Oh, I think it's wonderful. And when I lived on Robert Street, I did a lot of that too. Much less since I moved to Borden Street. But sitting outside till 10, 11, 12, 1 in the morning, just schmoozing with the neighbors. Yeah, it was wonderful.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Do you think it's happening as much, or has it changed?
I think now the schmoozing goes on in the backyards more at this end of the street. But if you go down the street, there aren't really that many verandas anymore. They used to be able to get marvelous wooden pillars. People would, you know, take the veranda off. The wooden pillars would go out for the garbage. John and I would go down and get it.
And what did you do with them?
Oh, gee, we turned them into the short ones. I think there's still one in Janice's house. You could make a wonderful plant stand, and there's another couple out in the other house with that John marbleized. You could easily get wonderful wooden columns because people were knocking the verandas off the front. That's one thing that's gone. There used to be, with every garbage, you could go down and you'd look and see whether they were rotten or not.
I love veranda living, or what Jane Jacobs called sidewalk living, using the front.
Well, I knew everything that went on, Mrs. Langer told me.
Yeah.
And we were both working, and we were busy doing something in the funny little vestibule. I'll show you the house. We'll go back through the house. And And she came over with this terrible wine and awful little cakes, and we had to have a visit.
Had they made the wine themselves?
It was hard sometimes to understand what uh-huh. she was saying,
anyway, but
we
bad.
Always understood each other yeah. quite nicely, uh-huh. so we put some lawn chairs out in the front, and uh-huh. we sat and talked to her, and yeah. we drank the stuff and ate the...
Drank the bad wine and ate the terrible
stuff. Well, it wasn't bad. It was very nice of her.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And you have very fond memories of that time.
Oh, yes.
As I'm listening
yeah,
to you and watching you.
It was wonderful, yeah. It was wonderful. It's a wonderful place to live, actually.
Is?
Is, still, I think. Yeah, there's more break-ins and oh, it's always been, all these years, been a wonderful place to live.
Well, you know, we're sitting at your neighbor's house because you're cat-sitting, but I'm seeing that she has these bars on the window.
Mm-hmm. I had, before I got the new windows, I had bars on mine. Uh-huh. Yep. No, this house was broken into. We've owned this house since 1985. It was broken into twice. And then we put the wind up bars
on. Do you still own this house?
We do.
Oh, mm-hmm. So you live next door, 162, but you own this one still.
I do.
And you put the bars on.
But it is Maya's house. She's a wonderful. She's uh-huh. been here a long time.
Yeah. What about the food? Was there a sharing of food? I mean, you're talking about Italian people, Jewish people. Any comments?
There was only the awful Dominion store, really. Nothing like there was Peretta's pizza. No, I wouldn't say there was food sharing. Every single one of these restaurants is new since 1972, yeah. except Peretta's Pizza, which is now Messis.
And you mentioned a few places that were here a long time ago.
There was a kosher, Janice will know, I'm sure it was the Pottery Building, Kosher Chicken. Sally Bird Park was a Volkswagen repair garage. I remember that because we used to take our cars there. I can't remember the man's name. If I got a really old phone book, I could probably find it. Like, you know, your personal phone books. But you took it up and, well, he repaired everything. But,
so you took that whole structure down to build the park.
The park, yeah. Well, it was, I suppose, an illicit use of a car repair place would uh-huh. be all toxic, and I suppose that was a wonderful place to take your car, though. It really was.
And so other stores that you can remember, since we're talking about stores, on Harvard or College or Bloor?
Next to Peretta's, uh-huh. which is Messis, mm-hmm. there was one of the two Chinese laundries. Janice remembers the man's name. I don't. I think it's now that... it's Middle Eastern Fusion, the restaurant right next door to Macy's.
93 Harbor,
yeah,
maybe?
That was a Chinese laundry, and there was one next to the Immergluck tailor shop on Spadina as well. And that's where you took your laundry. Where Tatty is mm-hmm. was... The only laundromat was really small. Really small. And there was a kind, not a homeless man, I don't know what he was exactly, but a little short man in a black suit and a fedora that spent a lot of time in that laundromat and walked around the neighborhood and would come up and talk to you. And
was he a street person?
I believe he was so neat that he must have had a home. Apparently he did. The most famous street person we had was, if you look down the driveway, there's quite a splashy new concrete garage with a red door where a guy keeps his motorcycles and things like that. And that was a wooden garage. And I don't know whether you've ever seen Florence, a very fat lady, a street person.
Oh, yes.
Florence had a little business in that garage.
Oh.
You asked about... home. She didn't have a home, but she did have a little business in the garage. She was quite a problem in the neighborhood. She could become quite abusive, but we would see the gentleman coming out of the garage. I'll show you the garage on the way out,
right.
Which one, but it isn't, it now has a fancy metal door and everything like that. But it was there was a big shed out here, that a big double garage, and the Harvard Fish Company kept all the. That's what this house was. They used it as a storage place for dried fish.
This house that we're in.
No,
at this
next
one.
Door. Oh. No, the one next door.
Oh
yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So Florence had what we called the cottage industry.
A cottage industry, yes, she did, in good weather, in the garage.
So she must have rented that space. No, she just...
Coming in, Tam. Suit yourself. I'm still... Yeah, well, come in, I'm still here. And Eleanor's here, too. We can shut the door next time. You know, just let me know. Yes,
so
I wish I'd thought of her before when you said cottage industry.
Oh,
I just remembered now.
So that was...
70s.
Squatter's rights, so to speak.
Well, it just wasn't used, I guess, much, or not used during the day, or I don't know what.
So then it was.
Are you warm enough? Are you okay in here?
No, I'm too warm. I'm taking my jacket off.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Maybe it's the story you just told me.
No, I just... Oh, gosh.
Well, she's still certainly around.
Oh, she is.
Yeah.
She is.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yes. No, she's on such a medication now that she isn't abusive anymore, but she used to shout at people. And,
yeah.
And well, not in her cottage industry self, but just by walking along the street, you'd think, oh, she's across to the other side, you know.
Yeah, to protect yourself.
Yeah, well, yeah, she was a real fixture. She was.
Well, and she is too. She spends a lot of time sitting outside near the Bloor Cinema, that little Middle Eastern place, and she buys some food there, I guess.
Somebody on Bloor Street supports her, apparently, financially.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. There's a big thing in the Annex Gleaner about they wanted to... She will not stay in any facility, and somebody, I think the woman that lived upstairs above the By the Way Cafe, wrote a very harsh letter about how she gave her money and stuff like that, and you should... No, she was trying to get the Jewish Community Center to support her. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that funny? I wish I'd kept all that.
She used to hang around in the Jewish Community
Center
a lot.
Yes, and I think that's how this lady got to know her and felt that I didn't realize. I don't think Florence was Jewish, but she could have been.
She looks more gypsy.
Oh, yes.
But I don't know. Yeah, that's the look. Yeah.
But this, she said that the Jewish Community Center and the Jewish Community wrote a nice letter back. Old Annex Gleaners would be good. I don't know when they started. I remember that. Yeah. Okay, on with the questions.
So that's the cottage industry.
That's the only one I can think of at this time,
right.
Yes.
Yes. Your street, let's just talk about your street, which is the one that you know the best. And you talked about the front porches changing. Any other changes that you can think of? You can talk about the other streets in this neighborhood, too, but you're so familiar with Major.
No, you won't. There was a big... Is Ulster the one down there? Sussex is up there, and
Sussex
Ulster's
is
down
closer
there.
To Bloor, and
yeah.
Ulster's...
Ulster, yeah. There was a big scandal. If you're in the park at Ulster, and you look across the street, it's was a desecration of about 8 Victorian houses. Have a look at it. That was one big scandal that occurred when in my staying here, that somebody got in and changed all of them. It's awful. You
oh, I know where you know.
Mean. Yeah.
Yeah, that's just south of where I live, because I live
yes,
on Warden.
Yes, and that meant that I can remember about a change in the street. But actually, Major Street is pretty much
the same.
Visually the same.
Yeah. But are there fewer students now? Because you said that there's. It seems to me.
There's certainly, for example, one of the negative things, I think, well, I guess it's good for the students, but the lovely little row of houses between the Harvard Bakery and So Young and Brian's Variety Store, three of them are now sort of student housing, and the garbage problem is terrible. The visuals are terrible. There weren't places like that. You rented... Well, we rented our upstairs to people that were in the academic world in some way or at the hospital.
But they respected their property and the neighbors.
Yes. I think everybody took better care of everything when there weren't... I don't think there were that many absentee landlords, but I'm not sure. Not sure. Rosa, no, too. Well, Rosa's younger than I am. But her mom would know.
Well, you mentioned Rose because... We had a lovely interview, and she's given me other names. And then there's another Rose. There's Rosie Schwartz, and I haven't met
her. Yes. Oh.
And she's on my list.
Oh, I forgot about her.
But I'm going to phone her.
Oh, she used to be she used to really annoy people. A real powerhouse, and she was always going to run. I think she ran for public office. I've forgotten all about her. Very attractive in a sort of big way, but boy, was she. She used to live up above Harvard. Oh, yes. Yeah,
I will phone her.
That'll be interesting. Yeah. That will be interesting.
And she's been here a long time.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I forgot all about her.
Well, you said Rose.
See, when John got cancer, and that 2-3 year period before he died, I don't really remember much, and I wasn't here that much. I was out there where he was, and so there's a gap in there, but oh yes.
So when was that?
I remember her. Yeah. And Jack Layton was our alderman, and Dale Martin, and this restaurant across the street here, Harvard House, used to be a lovely little cottage.
Oh.
And the city let horrid Peter Fentham turn it into Rowers.
I remember that. Yeah.
Off.
Oh, so it was a little beautiful
cottage, yep, Center Hall plan. That you went up steps to its veranda, and the city let them turn it into that. And I was just, when I was looking through this stuff, I got all this stuff on Peter Fentham. Rowers was the worst thing that ever happened to this neighborhood. He had, like, they urinated in our yard, they threw bottles, you don't want to know about Roars. It was awful. This man is a very good restaurant owner, and there's no problem. But the Roars years are famous in this neighborhood because he was just an arrogant bastard. I hope this is on the radio sometime. He was just...
He didn't care about
the neighborhood. He didn't care. If he went in to complain that there were... all his customers were in your parking places, he'd threaten the police to come and get you and... report. You want out, sweetie? And report out.
There you go, babe.
That I forgot about. Rowers was just awful. And, well, Allman Lemon was awful too, but nothing like Rowers. So. I've got all the letters we wrote to the city and everything about Rowers with examples of the patrons and the abuse and the destruction of property and everything. It was just,
So it was, and it was mainly young people.
It was young, middle-class people that didn't live around here that thought that this was like the slums, and so they could do whatever they want. Yeah. It failed too eventually, and apparently he opened another restaurant somewhere,
And what about Olive and Lemon? You said that too, they were not good neighbors.
No, they were not. So we used to go to, when his first restaurant was down below college, John and I used to go there all the time, but when he came up here, it was bad. Yeah. It was bad.
Well, it's too bad because this is a neighborhood and it's a community.
Yes.
And these people come in and they don't respect
He couldn't have cared less. Yeah. And he had motorcycle gangs at night, and they would, you know, he wouldn't adhere to any of the time limits. He wouldn't, and the motorcycles would gun and stuff like that. They were awful. So that's why we're so glad about Loire. I mean,
it sounds a little bit similar to what they have with Brunswick House. At Bloor and Brunswick, a very unpleasant.
Yes, it was very unpleasant. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, very unpleasant.
And everybody suffers, and everybody's irritable.
Yeah, true.
And impotent at the same time.
That would be a change in the neighborhood. Is the restaurants which are not well run? That would be the thing that has happened. There were no restaurants when I came on Harvard Street. There was only Barrettas.
And your silence about some of them means that they're okay. Some of them are okay now.
Oh, Dessert Trends is the best neighbor anybody could ever have in the world. Messis is wonderful. I don't know about the other ones down there. Loire is wonderful. Tatty, the upper level of Tati, that he tries harder than anybody else to not make that a neighborhood nuisance, mm-hmm. the man that mm-hmm. owns it now. Mm-hmm. But somebody allowed them to put a deck up on top, and under other owners, it was there's the biggest change, that with a bad restaurant owner, mm-hmm. that's the only negative thing that's ever happened in the neighborhood, I think.
Well, you know, I'm aware of Brunswick House, but you're the first person that I'm speaking to who has talked about some of the neighbors, some of the restaurants being bad neighbors.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the restaurant owners have been
and
bad neighbors.
Bring lots of people in, so they take up parking spaces, and they can.
But now, it used to be Sussex Ulster Residents Association. Bob Barnett and
right.
Sally, can't remember, lives on. House burnt down, lives on Robert.
Robert, okay.
They ran it, and with these neighborhood associations now, basically, if you want, like, Loire had to, they volunteered to meet with us, and we laid down, because it shouldn't have been a restaurant. It was Harvard Fish, and then it was Dr. Cheese and the Cake Lady. Oh, that was wonderful. That was Jerry Ballin, who is now dead. The loss of a really good woman, and her husband, she had... It was like a bakery, and it was absolutely wonderful. And then these two really nice guys came along and wanted to turn it into a restaurant. And so we let them turn it into a restaurant. They were fine. Then they decamped to the Maritimes, the two of them. And we were left with, I can't even remember the second one. It didn't last long enough. And then we got Olive and Lemon. So it's our own fault. The neighborhood said that this... business building could become a restaurant facing residential streets, and we had that's the only negative thing, only negative change is bad restaurant mm-hmm. owners mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the way it is now, I think there's a problem maybe with Latitude, in that it's a place where, but you'd have to ask the people at that end. Mm-hmm. I've just heard that everybody that works in the restaurants in Toronto goes there at night, and there's noise till 2 and 3 in the morning. But I have never heard it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all I know. Yeah. Because the restaurants around here now are just fine with us. Except for Charlie's Place, which went into where Atoshi was, which is sort of just a...
What is that?
When they asked for it, it was going to be lunch. It was going to be sandwiches. They gave a dinner menu.
So
it
it's,
never
it's a bar?
Happened.
I don't.
It's
understand.
A late night bar.
Uh-huh. I know that when I pass it, it's empty. So it's
yes.
not empty because I pass it too early.
It's a real problem. Yeah. Apparently, I don't know. I think Cyrus is sick now too. The husband, Hitoshi's long gone.
Hitoshi's husband, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody told me he's in the hospital. Uh-huh. So, but he's very upset about it.
So they rented it out? Because I know for a while it was an art gallery.
Well,
one of their children was...
Yes,
yeah.
The girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now it's this, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember Tim Grant saying, well, I went up because I wanted to have the... I think it was a seafood dinner but he said there was
no seafood dinner.
Nothing.
Just beer.
All the promises. You know, they had the neighborhood meeting, the guy came... produced all this, that this is what it was going to be, and none of it ever happened, and nobody seems to care. For one point, when the girl was living there, they had late night parties where they paid admission and went up to sit on the roof and that kind of thing.
Oh,
but that finally stopped.
Yeah.
Anyway,
but
go
that,
ahead.
But that noise really travels.
Oh, does
if
it ever?
People are out at night and it's 1 in the morning,
yeah.
and the city is quiet. That noise is traveling
it
and
does.
It disturbs the neighbors again. Here we go.
Yeah,
yep. Yeah. What about the traffic? Changes in the way the streets are used since you've been here?
Well, they made the traffic maze, which a lot of people disobey still, but that made a difference.
But isn't that annoying when people are going the wrong way?
Yes,
yeah.
but
yeah.
usually we just shout Yeah. something offensive at them that doesn't do any good. The traffic maze is good. It's good.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, there's a lot more bicycles, a lot more people riding bicycles to work than there were when I came, which is good.
Mm-hmm. So those are changes, yeah.
Yeah, they are. But basically, it stays a really nice neighborhood.
Yeah, I feel that way too.
Yeah, it is.
What about renovations?
Have I done any?
What do you see in the neighborhood? Anything worth mentioning?
Well, someone has just done a wonderful job on a house on Brunswick. Janice will know that, the address, because she's seen it. Saved it. It was written up in the Gleaner, too. They saved this. Well, it was at the meeting, I think, at the one of the things. Well, you know, when the Harvard... news thing. Mm-hmm. It said, here's these lovely houses.
Yeah, yeah.
I know the little row on Robert Street, the little row that they're all the same on the west side, about halfway down towards college. Those little two-story ones that are identical, and the original people mm-hmm. are still in the one that's painted with green and white paint, an Italian family, and the rest, a friend of mine lived in one of them. There was one really bad person, but I see that's all been renovated. No, the renovations have been pretty good, really, except for the famous Ulster ones, but that was
really,
early in the
that
day.
That really sticks out.
It does stick out.
Yeah,
it does,
In the years since you've been here, do you have any comments about how the back lanes have been used?
The city expropriated property from all of us to make the lane paved in 1995 and lit. We are very pleased with that.
Oh, yeah.
And this is a dead-end lane, so we don't get the speeders mm-hmm. going through. It is a place from which people break in, but it was in the 70s too, so.
But being lit.
Being lit just, is a big deal.
Right.
And that's 95, Gatlin's. That's when that came.
And welcome.
Welcome. It was welcome, yeah.
What about heating systems, air conditioning systems? What have you been through with all of that?
The houses are air-conditioned. That's about all, really. Mm-hmm. I know some of the people. You should talk to Jesse Kahn next to the Harvard Bakery. It used to be the children's bookshop. Mm-hmm. She, I think, has a green roof.
Oh.
You should look. If you go down, she's very interesting. Now, how long was the children's bookshop? She is very interesting. She's an American. But she's been here a fair amount.
Really? Okay.
Jessamine Kahn is her name. Do you want a phone number?
Yes. You'll give me that after
I'm not sure she gives out her phone number, but...
How would she spell Kahn?
Jessamine is J-E-S-S-A-M-Y-N, I think.
Okay.
K-A-H-N. And it would be right next to the Harvard Bakery. That's the best I can do. Queenbers are 107.
I remember when it was the bookstore.
She's still there, and she has the beautiful new fence out the front.
Right.
Go around the back and see her backyard. I'll take you on your way home. I'll show you Jessamine.
Okay.
She's a very interesting woman to talk to. Very interesting woman. And I believe she has the green
roof.
I believe.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I believe so, yes, because she was trying to talk me into it. But very interesting woman to talk to. Odd, but interesting women often are, aren't they? Not unpleasantly odd, just a different view of things.
Yeah.
An American urbanite, but I like her.
Okay. Yeah. I'll see if I can meet with her. I'll try. What about garbage collection? Changes since you've been here? Anything worth noting?
Well, I fought and to not have to drag that blue bin, I played the age card and I said, I am not dragging that thing through my house.
Mm.
And so Maya and I fought and we can put our recycling out in a plastic bag. Because I said, I'm not putting that in my front yard. And they said, okay. I think that the bins do not belong down here. I think the worst thing that has happened is the amalgamation of the City of Toronto, where we have the bins, which were really meant for the suburbs, the giant bins, and people have had to build receptacles in their front yard there. That's a big negative change, is the giant bins, which are fine. We have them out in Caledon. They're wonderful in the suburbs, but here where people don't have garages. So anyway, we fought, and so Maya and I put our garbage out, get the tags.
So you have special tags so that they'll take it away.
They'll take the garbage, recycling. We don't have the big bins here. Yeah. The green bins, we do. Yeah. We like fully approve of the small green bins because you can carry them through your house. But I can remember saying to them, sort of, I'm 60-something years old and I'm not wheeling it through my house. So anyway, they said, okay. And so we now use plastic bags. So that everybody does it now, but it should never have been used in old Toronto.
Well, and it also, when you see those, the gray bins, the blue bins, the green, in the front of people's homes, it changes the, we lose some of the beauty
yes,
of the front
we
of
have,
our homes.
We definitely have, and that's the problem with the student housing. And the,
they really have large numbers.
And if you look, they're moving out this weekend, I guess, and they just put the stuff out in the front and it sits there.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Cam. Come in, my dear. God, you're a smart cat.
Animals, what have you had? What have your neighbors had?
Maya had a wonderful dog, Spot, who she rescued from Costa Rica many years ago, and she had an old cat named Dougie. Janice has a cat, two cats. The only pets I've ever had here were cats. Mm-hmm. And I don't have one here now. Because I'm not here every day now.
Yeah, yeah.
So. But, yeah, cats are... Oh, sorry, Dan. I know, you're just checking, aren't you, to see if Maya's home or if I'm still here. That's why I like this, because if I were sitting over there, you can come any time and sit in my house. But I just would be thinking.
Yeah.
And all I could think of is somebody coming in the back gate and Tammy getting out. She has no claws front or back. So you're very patient, Eleanor. I'm grateful.
But you're a very good neighbor to your...
Well, we're a good pair. There. There's three old broads. I'm the oldest. Janice is the second oldest. Maya's the third oldest. And we live sort of, and this is not particularly good. The people in it now are very nice, but this is an absentee landlord next door. And it hasn't had much luck. The other half of this house is not what it was. Like, this is pretty much, except for a downstairs bathroom, this is what Mrs. Langer had. Oh, it's a lot cleaner.
Oh, really? Mrs. Langer wasn't the best.
No. It was just an old lady in a house that was empty for 2 years. And she didn't have any money to fix it.
Yeah.
No, she didn't.
This looks very nice.
Maya is a wonderful, wonderful tenant.
I'd like to talk about two institutions, your comments. We'll start with Kensington Market. That's kind of it's not in our neighborhood, but it's just adjacent. Any comments about that?
I like it.
Yeah.
I understand. I remember taking some people down to eat at night, and they were terrified. After it was about 10:30 at night, and there were some awfully shady-looking people down there. People say it's full of drug dealing. I don't know. I like Kensington Market. It's changed a lot. I'm glad I don't have to see the chickens in their cages anymore. I mean, that upset me.
So when did they change that? Do you know?
Gee, I think a lot of those places went out of business in the last 20 years. They just aren't there anymore.
But it didn't give you much pleasure to see the
that's. I mean, I know that that's how the world is run, but I as John used to say to me, avert your eyes, Sue.
Sounds like you were pretty feisty with each other.
Oh, he was a wonderful man. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. So Kensington Market, you're glad that we're close to it.
Well, yes, it's got good restaurants. Loire has an offshoot down there now.
Really?
Yeah, they do.
Do you know what it's called?
I think Le Kensington Bistro.
Oh.
Open Wednesday to Sunday, I think.
Oh.
Yeah, Maya and I ate there. It's really nice.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what about the University of Toronto? Do you feel that it has any influence on us, or good, bad, indifferent?
Well, it's never come far enough in to bother me, but I know the people that live closer to Spadina are terrified about whether so they own a lot of houses in the area, and I think they've just won something that the university can't tear down a whole street of them or something like that. It's always owned that property now. No, I respect, I used to swim at the U of T pool. I respect the University of Toronto, but they are no threat to me or my neighborhood, mm-hmm. but the more you go, the more threat there is.
And the question is what they'll do with the property that they
yes,
own.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So that's a concern. You mentioned in passing the security. We talked about these windows here and the lights you have when they paved your lane. What do you feel about the safety of the neighborhood as it was in the 70s, 80s, and how it is today?
Well, I've never been afraid, mm-hmm. so... Mm-hmm. I think if I were walking in the alley behind the Brunswick, which I wouldn't do, yeah. I might be afraid, but I'm certainly not afraid here, no. Because, well, basically, you know who your neighbors are here. There's still a lot of families or, you know, couples that live in these houses and rent out rooms to students and stuff like that. It's still a neighborhood, I think, mm-hmm. you know.
I've really covered whatever I was hoping to cover. When you knew that I was going to be coming to meet with you, I don't know whether you had any thoughts about what you might want to talk about. Perhaps there's something that I haven't touched on at all.
I just know that because I worked, I didn't know as much as Janice. Her house is the most beautiful thing you've ever seen in your life. Mrs. Crystal, John and I should have bought it. Oh, we should have bought it. I think they bought 2 years after we did. And it was all divided up, like the fireplace was covered. It was divided up into single rooms, by Mrs. Crystal. And they came in and you should see it. It is so beautiful. The wooden shutters pull out of the wainscoting and go right to the ceiling. You want to interview Janice just to see her house. And they did it all. They brought it all back. And I used to say, Jesus, John, we should have bought that house. It's just so beautiful inside. The same man that built my house, he came to work on St. James Cathedral. And then he worked on Newman House, you know, in the corner of the Catholic thing on the corner of St. George and Harvard and Hoskin, mm-hmm. the northeast corner, that big red building. He was a mason. He came from Scotland. The reason that this house is designated is it was the first brick house ever built in this neighborhood.
Your house?
Yes. Wow. That's why there's a plaque on it. And then he built the Drum Travel Building. Uh-huh. And, I forgot to tell you about that. And when we bought this, the original storefront, which faced east, was there. You went in, like glass windows, you went in, and it was a rental property. And I can remember there were two or three years when it was a drum store.
Oh my God.
And then this Larry Smith, who owns... Yeah, I think he still owns the woman's bookstore. He owns properties along here. He bought this, and that's why I have to turn on lights in my kitchen, because he built a thing. But anyway, he was going to have triangular windows. He was going to do this. He was going to do that. And it was the centennial year or bicentennial year of Toronto. I got onto the Historical Society, and we got not only mine designated, but his designated, which is why when he put the big addition on, it had to be yellow brick with red trim and that kind of thing. I don't know what you just asked me, but I just remembered that.
Wow, but yours was the first brick home.
First brick structure ever built in this neighborhood.
And what year was your house
1876.
Built? Okay.
And he lived in it. And then he built this, then he built these two, and then he built Janice's, Mr. Johnson. Oh, you got to see inside it. I thought, when I saw this, I thought to myself, oh, Sue, you got to look beyond stuff. Well, he didn't have any money to buy it. You know, he didn't have any money to buy another house, but it's bigger. And
well, I will. I want to make a few more appointments, so... I'll phone her first and give her choice.
Yeah, she's busy. She's a busy woman, but very interesting. She says, I talk too much. And I said, well, it doesn't matter. But she used to work for the city for years. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to turn this off. There was something that you were going to say when the machine was off, so I'm going to... I haven't forgotten.
Oh, it's just an army phrase. You two can turn it off. You can use it in your life if you want to.
First, I just want to say thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
I enjoy meeting you.
It's been a pleasure.
And everything you've shared with me. Thank you. Shared with me. Thank you. Shared with me. Thank you. Shared with me. Thank you.